Greetings, salutations, welcome to episode 35 of the West Texas Catholic, the podcast, brought to you by Cap'n, powered by the Diocese of Amarillo. My name is Chris Albrock. I'm Director of Communications for the Diocese of Amarillo. I edit the West Texas Catholic, the newspaper, and this interview portion of the West Texas Catholic, the podcast, can be heard on the West Texas Catholic, the audio version. And do we have a great guest for you? He is the Vocations Director for the Diocese of Amarillo, Father Ryan Winger. A native of Groover will be joining us here in just a couple of minutes. You're going to hear a fantastic vocation story and some advice on those that are looking for a vocation to the priesthood, women religious, permanent diaconate, and so forth. That's coming up in just a couple of minutes. And we'll get you up to date with a few diocesan headlines. But first, if you'll assume an attitude of prayer, let us pray for religious liberty, something we should never take for granted in our church, world, or society. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty God, Father of all nations, for freedom you have set us free in Christ Jesus. We praise and bless you for the gift of religious liberty, the foundation of human rights, justice, and the common good. Grant to our leaders the wisdom to protect and promote our liberties. By your grace, may we have the courage to defend them for ourselves and for all those who live in this blessed land. We ask this through the intercession of Mary Immaculate, our patroness, and in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, with whom you live and reign, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. My dime's worth of opinions, not necessarily those of Cap'n, the Diocese of Amarillo, or the Office of Communications for the Diocese of Amarillo. But I think we can agree on this one, folks. We need some rain. It's really bone dry out there. Please pray for favorable weather for our farmers and ranchers, that they get the rains they need to grow the crops that they do so well growing. Keep in prayer those in need of prayer, and you know who those are: the poor, the homeless, the unemployed, the sick, the dying, the lonely, the oppressed, the hungry, the thirsty, the discerning, the broken, the uncertain, the disturbed, the confused. And also continue to pray for an increase of vocations to the priesthood and religious life. Please pray for Benjamin Segoe and Richard Escalante, our two seminarians. And please go to amarillovocations.org and get all the answers and find all the resources you need for vocations here in the Diocese of Amarillo. To our healthcare workers and first responders, thank you for all you do for us. Your efforts do not go unappreciated on this program. And a quick note, folks, we have a runoff election Tuesday, May 26th. Get to the polls and vote. Early voting the week before, and the 26th just happens to follow Memorial Day, so make sure you get out and vote. A couple of other quick reminders. Keep up with all the news, and there's plenty of it going on. AmarilloDiocese.org, WestTexasCatholic.org. Like us on Facebook. Amarillo Diocese is where we go by there, and we try to post a couple of times a week, sometimes even every day. Next issue of the West Texas Catholic, the newspaper, is dated Sunday, May 17th. Your advertising deadline, Monday, May 4th. Photos, story ideas, etc., due on Thursday, May 7th at noon. This is the annual graduation issue. 430-plus seniors will be profiled in that Sunday, May 17th issue. Don't forget that you can keep up with this program and all our great offerings in Cap'n on Spotify, Amazon Music, and Apple Podcast. And our next podcast will drop on Friday, May 8th. And we thank you for the privilege of your time. Our guest on the West Texas Catholic, the podcast, is the parochial administrator. I'm waiting for them to say pastor now, of St. Teresa's Church in Panhandle. But very importantly, he is also the newly minted vocation director for the Diocese of Amarillo, Father Ryan Winger, joining us. And there's people that think, well, he's the youngest priest in the diocese. Not quite. I think we figured out you're fifth from the youngest.
Yeah, that's right.
So we're not going to complain about that. And there's a reason why he's fifth from the youngest. Let's get started explaining that. You have a very fascinating vocation story. There's a few turns and twists and 180s and 90 degrees in that story.
I guess. I mean, if you say so.
I think so, but I may be wrong. Share that story, if you don't mind, with us, Father Ryan.
Well, so my vocation story, I think, is simple, you know, but I am a convert. And I grew up in the Church of Christ in Groover, Texas. I was born and raised in Groover, Texas, and my family went to the Church of Christ. My dad began having a conversion around the year 2000. And I remember that I was baptized in the Church of Christ, but my dad going through his conversion really felt like that the Catholic Church was the correct way. And so he joined the Catholic Church at around the year 2000. It's when Father Scott Rafe would have been at Spearman at Sacred Heart. And my family was one of those families who always went to church together, no matter what. So when my dad joined the Catholic Church, that's when the rest of the family started going to the Catholic Church. It should be noted that my mom was born and raised Catholic. She was a Catholic from Dallas. So we all began going to the Catholic Church, but my mom and dad recognized, at that time I would have been a freshman in high school. So my mom and dad recognized that they couldn't really force me to join the Catholic Church. I had to decide to join the Catholic Church. So for many years, I was in that process of deciding. But I remember in 2000 going to like my first CCD class, high school CCD class. I remember going to a retreat at Waka, Texas, when they used to do retreats there. That's where I remember doing two things. I remember praying my first rosary ever, and I remember we learned how to Mexican dance there. So it was like a really fun thing that stuck out to me in the retreat world. I went to college. I studied mechanical engineering. I hated it, so I transferred my degree. I went to psychology. I went to Texas Tech, where in general, I always went to the 8:30 Mass at St. Elizabeth's at Lubbock. That was my Mass. I wasn't involved in the Student Center or anything like that. And I still wasn't Catholic. I was still figuring it out. So I graduated college, and I did a couple of things. Like I worked at a seed and fertilizer company as an office administrator for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And then I decided I wanted to be a teacher. So I got my teaching certificate with the state of Texas, and I worked at Spearman Junior High, teaching 7th grade math and Texas history. And I did that for about 5 years. But eventually, I thought maybe that the Catholic Church was something I needed to do. Maybe it was something I needed to investigate. And being, you know, naive at the time of my life, or maybe not naive, maybe it's more like just thinking for the future, I always thought that I would get married and that my wife and I would choose where we would go to church together. And I was dating this girl, and we ended up breaking up over a very specific reason. And I remember thinking that the Catholic Church at that point was more important to me than I first realized. And I went sort of like to this spiritual directory as the local Baptist preacher, you know, and I was helping out with the youth group at Groover and things like this. And we were talking, and he says, "Well, do you want to join the Baptist Church?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Do you want to join the Catholic Church?" And I said, "I don't know." And he says, "Well, you either better get busy being Catholic or get busy being Baptist." So that's when I started thinking, you know, And I remember being approached about going to RCIA or thinking about RCIA. And I had two big concerns about RCIA. The first concern I had was that I would be doing the class alone.
Mm.
And the second concern I had was that my dad was the teacher.
Ooh, I don't know which one of those is worse.
Right, yeah. So it was kind of like one of those deals where it's like, And then I had a young mom approach me with interest in going to RCIA. And she said, "Ryan, I need to go to RCIA. I want to join the church." She said, "But I don't want to go to the class alone. And I feel like that you would be somebody that would go with me."
Divine providence working here,
right?
I think,
yeah,
you know?
absolutely. So I went to the class. It happened that, you know, at that time in Spearman, I don't know all the history since then, but it was one of the biggest RCIA classes in Spearman history. We had 5 people join the church, but there were 6 that attended the class, and it was just a really great experience where I was able to really discover the Catholic faith, answer the questions that I needed to have answered, and make that decision for me that I was going to be Catholic. After joining the church, I really delved into the church. Like I taught high school CCD. Mm-hmm. I became a lector. I started going to vocations promotion events, how to do that as a teacher. I remember Father Gabriel was offering some of those. I went to some of them. And I began attending daily Mass. And I had a priest, Father Gregory, who was the priest at the time of Spearman, came to me one Wednesday morning and said, "Ryan, I need to tell you that I feel like I should ask you to consider being a priest? And I said, no. Right. As most people do the first time they're asked about being a priest. I said, no. And I appreciate Father Gregory, because even though I said no, he continued to ask me twice a year, not to consider being a priest, but to consider going on a discernment retreat or a come and see weekend. Those took place at Conception Seminary in Missouri. So for about 2 years, twice a year, he would ask me to consider going on the retreat. I got to one Lent. I did a few things. One of the things I say is that I made a mistake, but it's really not a mistake, is I got a spiritual director. Father Jim Schmidtmeyer was my spiritual director. He was in Borger at that time, and we would meet regularly. I would say that he might not have been my official spiritual director, but he's somebody I began talking to regularly. And I really began discerning, what is God calling me to do? What is my vocation that God has prepared for me? We did that primarily through looking at scriptures or talking about spiritual books that I was reading at that time. St. Therese of Lisieux was very important to me. I was reading her Story of a Soul. And I remember that Father Jim told me, he said, that's what discerning the priesthood is. It's not like you wake up every morning or one morning and you think, tomorrow I'm going to be a priest. He says, it's a series of little steps. Little yeses to God, little yeses to, I want to explore this more, or I feel like I'm being called to that. So that if you take a little step, you can take a little step back. And then at the end of it, you found that you've made the big step. And I really appreciated that, because I see St. Therese of Lisieux in her little way. She really talks about little acts of charity. But the little way, in my mind, applies to the whole Christian journey. It's a series of little steps. I think sometimes we can mistake that. We think a potential person wanting to consider a vocation to the priesthood can say, hey, I don't want to talk to the vocation director because that means I'm going to be a priest. No, that's wrong. It doesn't mean that you're going to be a priest. It means you're open to discerning what God is calling you to do. So that conversation with Father Jim had a huge, profound impact on me. So I said my first little yes. I said a yes to going on the come and see retreat with Father Gabriel. And we drove with another guy and Victor, who works at the pastoral center. We drove up to Missouri. And I remember it was for a weekend. By that time, I was probably 29 or 30. And I was the oldest person there by 6 years.
Did it make you feel old to be the oldest person there?
Yes, it did. In fact, I didn't like it. Later, I found out that Conception is more of a college seminary.
Okay.
You know,
I did not know that.
Yeah, Conception is more of a college seminary. In fact, it would be considered a minor seminary. And after that weekend, I had some reservations about my age, about the guys that I would potentially be living with in the seminary, about education. I didn't think I was the smartest person. And I remember talking to Father Gabriel about that, and he said, don't worry about any of that. Okay, I thought. And so I prayed about it. And I read this book. I always recommend this book to people thinking about vocations in seminary. It's called To Save a Thousand Souls. So I was reading this book, and I got to this place in the book where it asked you to make a pros and cons list. And it said, picture your life as a priest. Take some time in adoration, picture your life as a priest. Write out all the pros that you can think of and all the cons you can think of, and pray with that. Likewise, do that with your potential life as a husband and father. Write out all the pros, write out all the cons, and really pray about that. And I remember doing that. And these are the things that I remember thinking. When I filled out the list of being a husband and a father, I remember thinking, I want that life. And then when I prayed and read the list about a priest or being a priest, I remember having this great sense of peace in my heart and in my very soul. It was just this great sense of peace that I couldn't ignore. So I called Father Gabriel I said, hey, I have some reservations still, but I'm at least willing to go if the diocese would have me. He says, okay. So then the real process began. This would have been about in end of April. In May, I remember sitting down at my desk and filling out the seminarian application. And one of the things that you got to do to fill out the seminarian application is you have to write a autobiography of your life, sort of. There's spiritual aspects of it and people in your life and things like that. I remember one night filling out the application. I remember writing the autobiography. I went to sleep that night. I got up and proofread the autobiography, and I thought, I never want to read that again.
Why?
Because it was just very emotional. It was very hard to write those things. And it was a big step for me to be vulnerable, not only about aspects of my life, but also of my spiritual life. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it was a level of vulnerability that I don't know that I had experienced yet. So I read it, I submitted it, and 2 days later, I got a notification by Father Gabriel that I had been accepted by the Diocese of Amarillo as a seminarian. So naturally, I began to take steps of preparing to go to seminary. One of those things was contacting my principal and letting him know. And so really, the rest of the story works like this. Remember, I was accepted in May. Mm-hmm. In June, I quit my job as a teacher. No idea or plans. I just quit my job because I knew I needed to be able to go to seminary, and I wanted the school to have time to hire my replacement. In July, I completed my psychological evaluations and got accepted. At the end of July, I received an application from the seminary that I would attend, which would be St. Meinrad up in Indiana. On August 6th, I received an acceptance letter from the seminary of St. Meinrad that said, be here in 2 weeks, basically. Be here on the 19th. So in that 2 weeks, I sold my house, and I gave away lots of things. My mom and dad helped me a lot, but I packed up my truck and went to the downtown women's shelter and just gave lots of things away and basically got my life condensed down to the back of a pickup truck. And I drove up to St. Meinrad and started my seminary journey. And I'd never visited the seminary. I didn't know what to expect. I was very nervous. I didn't know. I just knew that I was there willing to discern and willing to work hard. And one of the things you might remember is that I went to conception. I was nervous about my age. Mm-hmm. So the person that gave me a tour at the seminary, his name was Deacon Mark Schuster at the time, and he's a priest now in Nashville. He's given me a tour, and I looked at him, and I said, hey, man, how old are you? He says, I'm 41.
That set you at ease a little bit, didn't it?
Yeah, very much. Like it was like a weight was off of my shoulders in some ways, because that's one of the things I was worried about was my age. And the rest is history.
You know? You picked up a nickname while you were up there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I did, but that kind of went away.
That kind of went away because, you know, they called him Tex.
Right. I was the only person from Texas for a couple of years in the seminary that was attending there. Many of the people started calling me Tex, and I said, well, I don't know that that's right, and I'm not the only person from Texas, and it's a big state, but it was a good thing, and then eventually it died off, and it was okay.
And the rest is history.
That's right.
And I'm so glad you said yes.
Thank you.
So glad you said yes. Father Ryan Winger is our guest. That was his vocation story. He is the director of vocations for the Diocese of Amarillo, appointed to that position on February 4th by now Bishop Emeritus Patrick J. Zurich. So you're about almost 3 months into this now. What are your short-term and long-term goals as you take over the vocations directorship?
So my short-term goals are one, just for people to know that I'm just the vocation director. This is one of the reasons why this podcast is so great, is because it allows me more exposure. If we have men that are out there that are thinking about potentially discerning being a priest, they need to know who to contact. Mm-hmm. And I'm the person to contact. And so one of the short-term goals is just to allow people to know who I am and to know where to find me. So having things like a website or business cards or attending the Student Center or Holy Cross or youth groups around the diocese is my really short-term goals. It's just to be able to meet people and say, hey, if you've ever considered being a priest and you want to think about or discern this seriously, I'm the person to contact. Right, a priest in your parish is a great contact. Oh, they know who I am, yeah. Right? They know who I am. But sometimes it's helpful to associate a face with a name. So, like, who's the vocation director of our diocese? That's me. That's me.
That's that man right over there. So
that's a short-term goal. I would think a long-term goal for me is really to begin to create a culture of vocations in our diocese where there is promotion of vocations happening all the time. Our diocese is very big. It covers a great area.
26 counties.
26 counties. It's a very big area. And I'm just one person. Yes, I'm willing to drive all over the diocese. That's part of my job. And I don't mind living on the road, or, you know, at least being on the road.
No 14-hour drives
right.
for you anymore.
Right, right.
For a while, anyway.
Right. So. But I can only do so much. You know, there's a responsibility of promotion for vocations to lots of people in our diocese. Not only am I responsible, but priests are responsible, permanent deacons are responsible, parents are responsible, and also kids, and really creating a culture of vocations in our diocese. Now, when I say culture of vocations in our diocese, I want to be very clear. Not only does that mean priest vocations, that means also potentially women religious vocations in our diocese. We have great religious sisters here who do a lot for our diocese and live a very unique life in our diocese. If there's young ladies out there that are considering a religious life or potentially discerning a religious life, I can help get in contact with the sisters in the different communities to help you begin that journey. So when I say long-term goal of creating a culture of vocations, that's not just limited to the priesthood. That includes all vocations, permanent diaconate, marriage life, priesthood, religious life, all the vocations.
Father Ryan Winger is our guest. He is your director of vocations for the Diocese of Amarillo. Best place to get a hold of you is at St. Teresa's Church in Panhandle, right?
Right. I have recently updated our vocations website. It's amarillovocations.org. Mm-hmm. There's lots of great resources on there. On the Contact Us page, it has a phone number for the office, my office here at the Pastoral Center. It also has my email that you can use to contact me. And it really has some unique ways that explore vocations through videos, potential books, all sorts of resources that you can begin to look at to consider a vocation. I would also say that we're working on making it better and making sure the appropriate resources are out there so that people can discern the right way and in a helpful way.
AmarilloVocations.org. If it's not bookmarked on your computer, you need to get it done today.
Yeah.
One thing you've been doing, and we're nearing the end of the spring session of this, you've been offering some discernment Sundays, and you've got, one more coming up before summer break, right?
Yes, we have vocation promotions events. The next one's going to be on May 3rd. I would strongly recommend that any parent who thinks they might have a young male, junior high to high school, to come and really see what this group is about. Discernment doesn't mean commitment. Really, it's just an awesome time to hang out with primarily me, Father Shane, and then a number of young people from our diocese come and we eat, and then we always have a little presentation along the lines of vocations. Sometimes it could be like an interview with our seminarian, Ben Sego, where we live stream in. Sometimes it could be prayer and adoration or presentations and practical discussions on discernment and vocations.
That starts at 5 o'clock?
That's correct.
At the Bishop DeFalco Retreat Center?
That's correct.
2100 North Spring here in Amarillo. And you'll be bringing this back, I guess, in the fall, right?
That's correct.
That's the hope anyway.
Yes, that is the hope. That is the hope. I think we have very good people working to support the vocations promotion group. And I look for it to continue in the fall as soon as school starts.
Amen to that. Before we let you get out of here, some advice for those that might be considering a vocation, whether it be to the priesthood, to being a women religious, the permanent diaconate, because we're in that period now where we're starting to form the class of 2031 for the permanent diaconate for the Diocese of Amarillo, or even for somebody that might be discerning the vocation of marriage or singleness?
When it comes to vocation advice, really everything begins with prayer. Taking time to pray about your vocation is essential. A lot of people in prayer, they pray for specific things or they pray for specific people. Add vocations to your prayer life. Pray that you are able to discern God's vocation for your life. Pray for your future spouse. Pray for potentially entering a religious community. Pray for potentially discerning priesthood. It all begins with prayer. And then I would say the next thing would begin to do research. Read books like To Save a Thousand Souls, or go on the vocations website, watch the videos that are there, take advantage of the resources that are there. Those would be the things that I would do. And then when it comes down to it, you know, maybe you've talked to your parents, maybe you've told your priest in your parish, but that would be the third step, is letting people know that you are discerning this. Because if nobody knows who you are, then we haven't been able to contact you and you haven't begun the process yet. So let a priest in your parish know. Let your parents know that you are, hey, I'm thinking about this vocation. And then the fourth step would be, well, you need to contact me. Because if you contact me, it means that I'm willing to help you discern your vocation. And that could be to the priesthood, religious life, or any of the other vocations. But I primarily focus on priesthood and religious life. Mm-hmm. But you can't begin that journey if you haven't contacted me. And like I mentioned earlier, contacting me is not a commitment that you're going to seminary. It is not a commitment that you are going to enter religious life. It's really just allowing the vocations department to help you discern what God is calling you to.
Father Ryan Winger, our guest on the West Texas Catholic, the podcast brought to you by Cap'n, powered by the Diocese of Amarillo. I'll give you the last word in the conversation, Father.
I love our diocese. I'm a kid that was born and raised here, and I love the people here and our diocese. I have great hope for our diocese, and I can't express enough how much I love being a priest. And that's what gets me excited about being a vocations director, or even being a priest at St. Teresa, which I love. I love being a priest, but I love our diocese. And I remember when I was in seminary, people would say, well, where do you live? And I would have to make a distinction. I would say, my home is a seminary at St. Meinrad, but my heart is in the Diocese of Amarillo.
Couple of quick news notes before we get out of here. Do want to remind you about Spiritual Arms, 5 minutes for the battle. New episodes drop Monday mornings at 7 o'clock with Joshua Correa of St. Mary's Cathedral. Kick off your work week with 5 minutes of faith. And also check out the Introverted Apostle with our two extroverts. Well, maybe. Roman Asbill and David Wilson. Keep up with these programs and all our great offerings on Cap'n, and all our fantastic Cap'n products are available on Spotify, Amazon Music, and Apple Podcast. A Mother's Day prayer brunch, Saturday, May 9th, 10 to noon, Bishop DeFalco Retreat Center, 2100 North Spring. Tickets are $20 per person. There will not be tickets sold at the door. You've got to get your tickets before Wednesday, May 6th. Get in touch with Sister Elizabeth Ann Dockery at the Bishop DeFalco Retreat Center, 806-383-1811. Confirmation Masses continuing this spring, being done by Deanery and all the Masses at St. Mary's Cathedral, 1200 South Washington here in Amarillo. The celebrations continue through the end of May. Blessed Sacrament Church, 2500 South Bolton, hosting the first of three diocesan mini youth rallies. This will be on Saturday, May 23rd for the Central Deanery. Rally starts at 1:30 p.m. No cost for the rally. Registration, though, is due by Friday, May 15th. Need to know
more? Oscar Guzman has all the answers. 806-383-2243, extension 118. Volunteers needed at BSA Hospital as communion ministers. Doesn't require a lot of time. Training will be provided, and Elma Fletcher has all the details. 806-206-4496. Quick reminder, Saturday, August 22nd, 100th anniversary celebration for the Diocese of Amarillo, the Mass at 10 o'clock that morning at St. Mary's Cathedral. Be looking for more details coming very, very soon. And if you've got comments, suggestions, maybe you'd like to help underwrite the cost of Cap'n, we'd love to hear from you. stcapn@dioama.org is our email address. Please don't forget to fill out the form at stcapn.com. We want to hear from you, and we want to make this podcast and our podcast network even better. And you can find all of our great podcast products on Spotify, Amazon Music, and Apple Podcast. And that does it for another edition of the West Texas Catholic, the podcast. Have yourself a great week. Remember, abortion is not and never will be healthcare. Viva Cristo Rey.